We're going to continue our study in Acts, but the more I've studied and the more I've delved into this and growing up in the church, I think this is one of those areas that we kind of skip over or kind of try to justify for something else. But if you really look into what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit, and as we were singing at the beginning, telling the Holy Spirit to touch our eyes that we can see, mm-hmm. It's pretty clear. And what I want to do for the next couple Sundays, and I wish those who come on for worship service would be here this morning, is what I want to take that sermon, and I'm trying to get all this information out so quickly, is for us to come back together on Sunday school and talk about what we talked about last Sunday. Because I think we really need to focus on, because this is one of those areas that I think within the church still struggles with for some reason. Our walk this morning when we're in worship service is we're going to take a look at what the Holy Spirit looks like. A lot of those verses that we've kind of read over and skipped over, and that was the Holy Spirit involved. That was the Holy Spirit active. And then, next Sunday, what I want to do is draw it all together, is how the Holy Spirit works in you. If somebody will turn over to Acts, we read it last week, but I want to bring out some points in it before we really get going. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through, let's go through just 6 right at the moment.
In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?
Now, the apostles had the same problem that we do today. Jesus laid out everything that was getting ready to occur. And then somebody read verse 2 again.
Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen.
You see that the Holy Spirit was active and living in Christ. That he went through and active and doing what? Giving instructions from whom?
From the Father.
That's going to play a key factor in what we study in the next couple of weeks when we talk about in the worship service what the Holy Spirit job is and what he does and what he's capable of. And what we need to realize and understand is the Holy Spirit is active and living just like Christ is and just like the Father is. But we tend to kind of wrap him up and put him in a little different thing because growing up in church, we didn't want to think that the Holy Spirit was active in us. We didn't want to think that people kind of got a little speaking in tongues. You know, part of it was wrong, but part of it, still right, this Holy Spirit can be active in us. And some members may have taken that a little bit different, what Scripture said, and twisted it a little bit, but then we took away from the Holy Spirit. So what I want us to do, because you need to understand the power and the ability of the Holy Spirit. What did the disciples ask Jesus? Is now the time you're going to make that earthly kingdom?
Right.
And Jesus told them, hey, I want you to wait in Jerusalem because you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they go, well, is now the time? That had nothing to do with what he just said. And we kind of tend to do the same thing. I grew up in the church. And a couple people come to me afterwards, after church Sunday, talking about the same thing that grew up in the church. Saying that's not how we approached the Holy Spirit before. When some people come into our church and we talk about the Holy Spirit, and they can point it out in Scripture, say, Holy Spirit's doing this, and we kind of say no, or no, that's not what it means. It's plain. Everything in Scripture is plain if we just open up our eyes. So what I wanted us to do is, so we don't miss anything, is go back to the lesson on Sunday, and let's start breaking that down a little bit more in conversations with one another. There's two parts. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian, my question is, what is so, like you said, you grew up in the church, and I did too, and I'm even older than you. And so, I don't understand why, what, we keep on hearing things that are new revelations, so to speak. So, why not then and now?
What?
It is now. Why not? Why is it that we were taught then, and we were taught everything that we supposedly knew, which was right? Why is it that now, or even not just this moment, but in this time frame of, let's say, the past 10 or 15 years?
Well, I think what the problem is that's why I brought up the disciples. We're really not teaching something different. We kind of void areas. Like, we used to not teach handling revelations because it was hard to understand.
That's right.
We don't teach on the Holy Spirit because to some it's hard to understand. But to me, after growing up in the church and then after, and I'll be honest with you, I held back on what I thought the Holy Spirit was doing overall because we really didn't go down that road. So I don't think it as much as we are changing our teachings, as much as we kind of avoid that conversation. Because growing up in the church, I grew up heavily in the church. I did have a grandfather who answered everything from Scripture. When I asked a question when I was younger, he was one of the ones that motivated me the most. Because if I didn't know the answer and I went to somebody and said, no, let's not go there, I could go to him and he would say, don't take my word for it. Let's go to Scriptures and find out what it says. But I found myself, even probably up to a few weeks ago, like the disciples, not seeing the whole picture. Not saying that what we were doing was wrong in the church, because I don't believe that. It's not seeing the whole picture of what the Holy Spirit is. Because I know growing up in the church, they were worried about the Holy Spirit. Can people do miracles today? Can people speak in tongues? Can they get new revelations? And you know, that was a really tough subject for it. What I have to offer to you by the end of next week is the answer to that. And we'll kind of go over it, touch base this morning. What was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To do the Father's will. The glory, the same thing as Christ. We'll talk about that and some more. To do the Father's will. And so, what is our job? Do the Father's will. Whatever He determines and says is right for that moment in time, He'll make happen. You know, we talk about, and I'm kind of getting a little off subject, but we talk about the reading that having faith of a mustard seed. If I have the ability, I should have the ability to move a mountain if I have that much faith. I'll be honest with you, I don't have that much faith yet. I'm not there yet. So when I pray, I should have the ability to move, because the good Lord gives me that power and ability. But I do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. I'm not there yet. There's a whole lot more the Holy Spirit can do in my life, but I'm not there yet because of my faith and what my understanding. And we're going to move towards that. So this is a tough subject. I told you last week this is going to be a hard one for us, hard one for me. But we're going to hit summit where I want y'all to start digging. Look for those answers that you have about the Holy Spirit.
So the idea of moving the mountain. If there's a mountain to be moved, and you're the one that has to get it done, you ask God for the faith, you trust in Him, and brother, you get a shovel. If you get and start moving it one shovel, wheelbarrow at a time, the faith will see you through it that is moved. The Great Wall of China, for example. And as the saying goes, another point is that Rome wasn't built in a day. It took great effort. And that effort still is required of us individually to succeed in God's will. If it's to do that, if we're to do whatever He puts on our heart to do, it can be done. You just figure out a way how to do it.
There was a movie that was put out where the boy or something called that, and he prayed for a mountain to be moved. He had a faith that like none others in the town made fun of him. So one day he just got down, and he was in the middle of town, and he prayed, and he says, if I have faith, I'm going to, and they had an earthquake in the movie. But the problem that we have today is, or we had there during the church at the same time period. Do you remember that? I can't even remember that gentleman who made a lot of money going around healing people, gathered people in tents, and then he'd lay his hand on them, they'd fall down, and come to find out it was a big scheme, and they was making money off of it. You know how you know if what you're doing is the Holy Spirit, or if it's the Lord working in you, or anything that thing? You know how you know that? You don't get glorified. God gets glorified. God gets the credit. It is not your will. That's the two factors that you've got to have as a Christian. Two things that we need to do is do our Father's will, whatever He has asking, and we make sure He gets glorified. Yeah, when we're going to talk about here in the problem in a little bit of what we talked about in the sermon, the Tower of Babylon, Babel, whatever it was called, Babel, is that what was going on there? They had the ability, they had the God-given ability to build a tower all the way, even back then. Even back then, we have, I think, skyscrapers in New York and stuff like that, and things are amazing. Oh, they had that ability a long time ago. But it's God-given ability. But they were more glorifying themselves. So I think we treated the Holy Spirit like revelations throughout our times. It was hard to understand. But I think we're cutting back God's ability when we do that. It's something to think about. Something when we're going to do next Sunday. I got for worship service, I printed off all the scriptures I'm going to go over on worship service. What I want y'all to do this morning, like I said, I wish everybody would come here too, is take notes, go home and study, and come back and bring me some stuff as well, because I think it's important, because it's an area that we need to pray about, we need to study hard, and we need to let the Holy Spirit direct us.
I just wanted to add to what you were saying. It's the example that you're using too is the saying why the disciples did not get it, because they didn't talk about it enough. the beginning, the understanding wasn't there fully. So they didn't talk about it. Same way if we be in class here and we discuss something, nobody asks a question. But yes, you got a question, but you didn't want to ask it. So you didn't, you know, you don't fully understand and you just brush over it. I looked at that as like with a person that has just accepted Christ, and we emphasize that you need to go through the five steps of salvation. You need to hear the gospel. You got to believe. You got to repent. And you got to confess. And you got to be baptized. We push that. But we don't emphasize the most important part, too. Well, I don't say the most important, but one of the just as important is that last step. You have to continue on with the doctrine. You have to continue on each day to live and to represent Christ, to keep Christ in you. But we don't discuss that. We don't get into that. We just say we stop it at baptism, and people believe that, well, once I get baptized, I'm good, you know, and you don't go into it. What you got to do each day, and when you get into a hard time, and then they say, well, I prayed, and God don't hear me, and God don't, you know, because you have your idea of how it's supposed to happen, and I'm saved, and this ain't supposed to happen to me. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. The devil's going to work at you more now than he did before. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go through more stuff now, and you have to realize each day you live, you have to continue to believe. You have to continue to study. You have to continue to do everything that you did in the beginning when you accepted Christ. And you have to show that. You have to confess every day. You know, you have to repent because you're going to mess up.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't stress that. So same thing with Holy Spirit. We don't talk about it enough. We don't and get involved in it, which is the lesson we're getting into now. And we get better understanding as we go into it.
I think the you bring a perfect example. If we don't get the message out, if we don't do what the gift of the Holy Spirit, we continue to study and learn more and do everything we're supposed to. How do you think beliefs come about? All you got to do is believe to be saved. Because we don't preach enough to say, hey, this is the steps, this is what's required. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It's all right through. Acts is a perfect example. It's when we don't do what we're supposed to do on our part, and people say, well, yeah, you're kind of right. And we leave it at that. And people say, well, then all I got to do is believe. Because people want ways out of it, Lynette.
The scripture describes the Holy Spirit as being the comforter or the helper. So we're kind of like messing up when we don't ask Him to be our helper, you know, to be our comforter. We're kind of like skipping over the whole Holy Spirit. and again, like if you believe faith only, I mean, they're missing out on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might just be as bad as us ignoring the Holy Spirit.
But we talk about Jesus doesn't dwell in us unless we allow Him to dwell in us. And this Holy Spirit ain't no different. It's part of the Godhead. And so we can literally say, no, that part I really don't want to accept, and the Holy Spirit doesn't have the ability to do anything because we don't allow Him to dwell in us. Chuck, yes, hand up.
Again, excuse me. Someone bought a brand new car, drove it, enjoyed the benefits of a brand new car, and then the time went on. The engine seized up. So they took the car in to go have it looked at. The mechanic asked, when was the last time you changed the oil in the car? The reply was, never. So that's why the engine blew up. Point being, we need maintenance too. That we do. We need the right stuff. So when they say, well, you got to put oil in the car. Now, they're not saying vegetable oil. water oil. So when we're talking about our relationship with our Lord, what do we need? The Holy Spirit.
Chuck, I love your mechanical reference.
So again, because hopefully something just has, you know, something to relate to how important it is, and it just so like people go along with a brand new car and just keep driving it, and not realizing the damage that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Lynette simply mentioned, it's the same way. If we don't utilize what the good Lord has provided for us, shame on us. You just made your life that much harder. When He, as a loving Father, has made provision for every situation you may find yourself in. Every situation. He's been there. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's there for us.
But we were promised there would be no temptation before us if God would provide. No, the Holy Spirit is there.
Yeah.
He's our
advocate.
You don't have Him reminding you to be in your conscience. That's your advocate. You never negated what God promised was. He promised you a way out. That Holy Spirit is your way out.
Doesn't Scripture tell us we can hear the Holy Spirit? But it's not a loud voice, it's a whisper. If we pay attention, we can hear the Holy Spirit. You know, I truly believe, because me and Wesley and you and I have talked about it, that if the Lord a lot of times will lead worship the way He wants worship to go, because we don't talk, and I'm amazed. You know, last Sunday, before we led the sermon, the Holy Spirit dwell in me. Listen to the words. We sing stuff. Sometimes we don't truly listen. Holy Spirit dwell in me. Touch my eyes that I may see. All your goodness, grace, and power stand beside me every hour. Be my drink. Be my living bread. Keep me sheltered. Keep me fed. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Let my heart be one with Thee. When I worry, smooth my mind. Let me sweet comfort find. May I rest and run this wicked race, filled by Your amazing grace. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Do we not believe that? And I like how you put it, that we miss the helper. We don't let the helper jump in and help us do the things that we need to do. He's a comforter. He has power. You look at what we're about to read, He has power to do all kinds of things. He gave the disciples the power to heal. You know, we talk about time that Jesus was here, and we really talked about His time with the disciples. You know, we talked about He sent them off on a training mission. Remember that? He says, all right, you now have the power to heal, to do. Send them off on that short thing so that they would realize what it's going to be like. They're going to be rejected at times. They're going to have big followers at times. But that He was preparing them for the day of Pentecost, when He would no longer be there to coach them, no longer be there, but He would not leave them by themselves. He would have them rely on the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you something. Were they successful? Absolutely. The church grew daily back then.
They were successful and immeasurably more than they could ever ask or imagine.
Exactly.
They didn't have to worry about what they were going to say. See, that would be my problem today. If I wanted to speak to someone, do I know enough? No, I don't have the answers. You don't have to do that today either. Pray for your mission, whatever that is. Pray for whatever you're going through, and believe it, and let the Lord direct you and say what needs to be said. And as we worship, we're supposed to be worshiping in spirit. Because that's what Jesus said. God is spirit. His worshipers must worship in spirit and truth.
Well, did you bring it with you today?
So how many we have in class today?
Okay.
How many we have in class today?
14.
14, thank you.
Okay.
I didn't count myself. I just counted everybody else. To do. 14 in class today.
15.
Okay.
We're a small number compared to even, what are we, worship service. We'll add more to it. Mm-hmm. Even Christians around here. The problem that we have today and that we're studying is we don't take it serious anymore. Wesley, you brought it up. We kind of not talk about it. This is what not talking about it gets us where we're at today.
Right.
Is we got to make it a priority. How do we do that? I don't know yet. That'd be the lessons down the road on how do we make it make the priorities. I got some ideas in my head of what I'd like to see because I think it would help, but it's just a barism. It's nothing scriptures that I can point to. But you look at where we're at today, and I think it's personally, is we've been silencing God, the Holy Spirit, and Christ over time. And this is where we end it. We're not in the boat by ourselves. You go to churches all over, and their numbers, what they used to be, is nowhere near where they was. It's not just an Edge Hill issue. It's a church issue. And so how do we help ourselves? And I think the key to me is getting back to scriptures and doing the hard studies. And I'll be honest with you, I told you this last Sunday, I was really nervous about this, me getting up here and facing y'all with all the experience and Bible knowledge we have, talking about a subject that we really don't talk a whole lot about. But it's something that needs to be done, because I have stuff I can learn from y'all and from my deeper studies from it all.
So not to quench the Holy Spirit. Good.
Chuck?
From a brother that we know, and again, I shared this with you so that we can share in his good news. They had a youth rally in Batesville, Arkansas. There were about 200 youth that was there. What a blessing. What a blessing. Yes, the word is still getting out. Baptisms are still happening. The truth is being proclaimed. And yes, it has its impact whenever, wherever the Lord sees fit. But his word is getting out. Changes are happening.
If you're breathing, it's for a reason. I mean, still active in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all one day closer.
Yeah.
One day closer. We're all going to have to give an account of what we did or have not done.
How sad is the person who has not brought a soul to Christ in their lifetime? That's our mission. We are missing that. And I think one of the answers is we got to pray about this.
Now you look. There's plenty of examples, and this is what I was thinking about earlier. There are plenty of examples throughout the Bible of showing us those very thing that you're talking about. Noah, when he built the ark. This has led me down this path this week where I studied a little bit about Noah, about was there rain or was there not rain, and stuff like that. Either way, if there was rain or not rain, I got my opinion on it now. That Noah built an ark. He's in the middle of it. He wasn't next to an ocean. He built an ark. Why?
God told him. And his faith compelled him to fulfill God's request.
Mm-hmm. Abraham. He got up and what?
Went.
Now he had some stumbles along the way, and sure did Noah. Moses. He had that faith and stumbled along the way. He divided the Red Sea and told him, now this is the Lord doing this. He's going to put you on dry ground. There's those abilities are still here today, of having that kind of faith and that strength and to be able to teach the gospel and the word. It's what we choose to do with it. Because the Bible will show us an example. David's a perfect example. He's a strong friend of God and all that, but he makes big mistakes. So that we need to understand that the Holy Spirit, as we study and go further, the Holy Spirit still dwells today and is active as we allow him to be. He's as active as you allow him to be in your life, like Lynette was saying. We kind of, the helper, we say, yeah, I got this big tool to open this door over here, but I'm sitting over here playing with these little tools trying to open this door on my own. When all I got to do is turn around and reach over here, and then I got a key to unlock that door. And we don't use, the Holy Spirit's a key in a lot of issues to unlock doors for us, and we don't use those opportunities.
You got to love a power tool.
Go into.
I'm telling you what, it used to be back in the day when you get a ratchet and you get that power tool. So think of the Holy Spirit that way too. You go about it your own way. Go ahead, you bad self. when you've got the power right there at your disposal. Now sometimes the Spirit will say, "You're a little haughty. You need to use that wrench right now. But you're not ready." And that they haven't left you. Again, it's also there to teach you and to humble you and get yourself prepared for the power. Because some power tools will break your arm.
No, they will. I was a mechanic for years.
Okay, so you understand that, hey, you're not holding it right, you don't get your balance, and you let that power go.
Oh,
there goes your
finger. Yeah. I'll tell you, just seeing you brought that up, I'll tell you a little story right quick. Back in the day, some of y'all, Jerry, especially Jerry, because he likes the old cars. Back in the day, you remember points?
Yeah.
Capacitors?
Yes.
We used to, in the shop, take these capacitors because you can store them up with power. And say it and lay it on that metal bench and then say, hey, I need that capacitor because I'm working on this car to get the points going and stuff like that. And they walk up there and pick up that capacitor and also it releases all that shock out of it. It literally gives them a shock. That's what the Holy Spirit is a lot of times. It's got plenty of power just in reserve waiting to be used, and we never utilize it for its ability. Wesley, did you have something?
Yeah, I just was going to just say one little short thing that we want to see, just like the disciples, we want to see something that we can know when we see it, we know it. You know, it's like you say, you have faith? Yeah, I got faith. But, you know, faith is something you can't see. But we want to know something, we can feel something that we can rely on. When you think about it, what is it that motivates you and all of us? Not saying, not trying to look down on anybody else, but what motivated all of us to get up this morning and to come to church and to get here on time? Because I'm grant you, there's going to be times when you're going to be late. There's going to be times when you may not even make it. You may get up and the devil's having his way with you and you struggling so bad, you said, I can't make it. You know, you give up. But what is it that motivates you to get up and you come and to be here on time and then to open up your mind and your heart to listen, to learn, to pick up? That's the Holy Spirit working in you. Because others will be here and they will have struggles and they'll be here when they can. But they're going to, you know, there's still something that's going to be pushing you to try to do your best to keep going and not let the stumbling block overcome you. That's the Holy Spirit making that way, as Jerry said, opening that door for you. Because even if you got here, and believe me, it's happened to me, you get to church and you walk in and they're saying amen, you still made it. You know, you got there. Then you got to work a little harder to get there a little earlier the next time. Well, there's been occasions when I went to a church, I thought I was getting there when they were just starting, and my time was off. But I knew next time, because I learned something that the Holy Spirit taught me right then. If you learn, you got to do a little earlier, you know. We all get something, how the Holy Spirit works, but what motivates you, what keeps you going, that's part of the act of the Holy Spirit to show you that you know. That's what's happening. But you're not going to be able to see it, but you'll know it if you allow it to work in you.
You know, so often we make excuses.
That's the devil.
That's the devil. The Holy Spirit, if we listen, will guide us in the right direction.
A quiet voice.
Quiet voice. Yeah. Somebody, this is how far we got along. Somebody go to Acts chapter 2 and read the verse, just the first four verses. This might be a long study, y'all.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
First question I got to ask, does it seem like the Holy Spirit is passive?
No.
Well, we got quite a bit of power. You can imagine, because as we read on here, if we get that opportunity to read on, is that it wasn't just heard in that room, was it? First of all, our Holy Spirit is powerful. It has the ability to do everything. And what did the last verse say? As the Spirit enabled them. They got their ability from the Holy Spirit, not from themselves. Not in anything that they are able to do. Their ability came from the Holy Spirit. So, like I said, I think it's going to end up being a long series of lessons.
That's what we need. We need to be able to discuss and get understanding, because if we have class and we go out here and don't learn nothing, then we haven't accomplished anything.
Right.
And we're not in a race. To finish with what we're trying to do in the end is get to heaven. The only way we're going to get there is to get understanding, you know, where we're supposed to go. Because the devil will keep on telling us, no, you need to go this way. No, you need to go that way. Don't go that way. You need to do this. You don't have to do that. You know, he's always going to confuse us. As long as we each understand and know what our job is, what we're supposed to do, we'll get there and we'll do what we're supposed to.
I don't want anybody to answer the question. I just want you to think about it as we get ready for this morning's lesson that we'll study somewhere down the road now. That I have notes for y'all to take for class. The Holy Spirit was powerful and active back then. Do you think it's powerful and active today? Don't answer the question, because we're going to talk about that in the worship service. But if it had the power to move people like the disciples and like the town that it was in, that people heard and they were moved, so moved, 3,000 were baptized and received the Holy Spirit that day. Is that Holy Spirit still that powerful today? Think about that as we do our lesson for today's Sunday. Worship shouldn't be as long as last Sunday, because I'm laying the groundwork for next Sunday. Our groundwork is like Wesley said, and I like how points he put across. It may be one stone at a time. But I think it's a road that we need to travel as a congregation and as a church. It's one I needed to, because I need to know more and understand more. And it's there, and ability is there. Because more, I'll tell you, this past week, all right, studying for the lessons, I want to see the Holy Spirit. And you know how many verses I found? We just talked about it. There's a lot. How did I miss that many verses? How did I miss and overlook that many verses? of the Holy Spirit.
So you're being, beginning to understand the difference between reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures.
Right. So, and that's probably the Holy Spirit in you to look at it again and say, oh, thank you. Thank you.
And the point that I keep bringing up, and I want to change, and everybody's mentality is, I can't give you everything that I've studied this week. I've been going to work just an hour early every day. I'm getting there at 6:30 every morning. I don't have to be at work till 8:30. But most of it's so quiet. Nobody's there. I can study and look for scriptures and do everything I need to do. And so I'm doing that every morning for the study. And I'm going, oh my word. Really? I grew up in the church. I should know better. So y'all need to know that, hey, I'm beating myself up more than any of y'all can ever beat yourself up over stuff, scriptures that I should have studied, that I should have focused on, that I should have paid attention to. And I think it's going to get worse as we move along. I'm telling you, just the mentality of doing a deeper study. And that's what I want y'all to do. I want y'all to take that same mentality, go home, take the notes from the scriptures, and there's a whole lot more that I couldn't put in there, or we'd be there for an hour and 45 minutes. I want y'all to find them and bring them to class. You know what I found? That's what I want to hear. Maybe a couple Sundays down the road as we get through this lesson. You know what I want to hear? You know what I found? I found this. And I didn't realize it. That's what I want out of this study. That's what I know the Lord wants out of this study, is to motivate us to not take my word for it and to do everything that we need to do to, as you say, not read, study scripture. All right. 2 minutes over. I'm doing better.